And let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant, at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. Doesn't that sound like people? Invited to the wedding supper, invited to church, people begin to make excuses. They all with one consent begin to make excuses. And the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yokes of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Now go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out unto the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, none of these which were bidden shall taste of my supper. With the help of the Lord, I felt like the Lord laid on my heart to preach about the call to win souls. Everybody say the call to win souls. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, which is ever anointed, God. We pray for your touch, Lord. We pray for your mind, O God. Lord Jesus, touch us with the word of God today, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise that's due unto your name. And everybody say in Jesus' name. You can be seated if you would like. Jesus issued several calls in his ministry. Now, somebody's going to keep up with me back there because for some reason my iPad is not connecting to the screen, and I haven't figured out why yet. Jesus issued several calls in his ministry. There are 3 calls that he issued. The call to be a disciple. You can advance the slide. Is anybody back there? Is JJ back there? Okay. Nope. Okay, we'll just... Brother Henry will help me out here. The call to be a disciple, the call to be like him, and the call to win souls. These are 3 calls that were issued by Jesus. Out of the soul winning call, and we're called to win souls, are we not? Yes. Amen. We're called to win. Out of those subunit of the call to win souls, there were 3 calls to soul winning. The call to fish, the call to make disciples, and the call to reconcile. Amen. The call to disciple is issued in Matthew 28:19, and I'm going to read from the Amplified, where it says, Go then and make disciples of all nations. And of course, the King James says, Go and teach all nations. But what if you look into the Greek, it is talking about making disciples. And we live in a world today where, of course, everybody is very standoffish with the Lord and standoffish with the things of God. It's very hard to get people to commit themselves to being a disciple of the Lord, but we're still called to do that. We're still called to try. Just because you may not be successful does not mean that I'm not called to try, and I am called to try to make disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And of course, we're so glad that we know what that name is. And that name is Jesus. The second call was to be fishers of men. In Matthew 4:19, he said unto them, Come after me as disciples. And again, I'm reading from the Amplified. Letting me be your guide, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishing It's very serious work. When men become fishermen, same thing with hunters, they can really get into it. They're buying their bass boats, they're buying their depth gauges, they're buying their different lures, and men can really, 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 really get into it. I suppose some ladies can get into it too. But they can really make a big deal out of it. The next call, and we'll talk a little bit about more about that in a few minutes. The next call is to become fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, the call of ministry of reconciliation, in wit that God was in Christ. All things, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have the ministry. There's a lot of people that are angry with God. Do you know that? You can see them all over the internet. A lot of people are angry with God. They may have lost a loved one. They may have had business ventures fail. They may have had all kinds of crazy stuff happen in their life. And there's a lot of people that are just very, very angry with God. We are called to be ambassadors to the world to help reconcile people to God. When you look at ambassadorship and you see the ambassadors in the UN and stuff, and they try to put their best foot forward. Of course, some of the really good ones say what needs to be said anyway, still putting their best foot forward. But we are called to be ambassadors. Now, let me talk to you about the call to fish. The call to fish. Where do I fish? How do I fish? When do I fish? We're called. He said, I'm calling you. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, there's one thing that you have to understand about fishing. Fishing, it can be a real art, a real skill. And sometimes, I don't know, is there a brother from Texas? Do you fish a lot out in Texas? Not you, but you got guys out there that fish a lot. We don't fish. We don't fish too much up here. It's an extreme effort to go fishing. But there's times when I fished when I was a boy, when you could throw, I'd take the little red and white bobber and put some bait on it, throw it in, and pull fish after fish after fish after fish after fish out of the lake. And there was times when you would throw that bobber out there, and if you just moved just a little bit, all the fish ran off. You didn't catch anything all day long. Well, that's what it's like fishing in our part of the world, fishing for the souls of men. You have to be very careful what you say to people, how you deal with people, not to rush them, not to push them, but allow them to come along as the Lord leads them. Somebody needs to say amen. Where do I fish? The world is your fishing pond. Now, when you go fishing, you fish outside the church to bring them in, and you can work on the ones that you personally bring in. Let me worry about the ones who have jumped into the church pond all by themselves. Amen? Amen. I've noticed that sometimes we tend to fish in the church pond, and this really should not be so. There's plenty of fish in the world pond. Bring them into the church, you can work on them. But the ones that come in on their own, let me take care of that. And if I need you, I will ask you to help me. Both farmers and fishermen have times when they look like they are doing nothing. But believe it or not, I actually work very hard trying to get fish in the pond of the church. And when you are too aggressive in your fishing, the fish run off. And that's not good. We have to allow people the time for God to work on them. The Bible says to everything there is a season, to every purpose under heaven. And the Lord knows in dealing with people how to deal with them. And we have to be very careful in dealing with people, because otherwise they're gone. And you say, well, I'm just telling them the truth. Well, sometimes you have to tell the truth with grace. And sometimes you have to let people figure things out on their own, because you can't tell them anything today. It's just a fact of life. And when you're too aggressive, as I said, and you're fishing, the fish run off. And I've seen this, I've been seeing this, and it needs to stop. How do I fish? When do I fish? This is a conundrum, because our church is scattered all over New Jersey. We've got folks from towards Pennsylvania, to up by where I live, to north of where I live, to way south of where I live, to east of the church, west of the church, excuse me. It's a conundrum, because we're scattered all over New Jersey. Organized soul winning is difficult at the very best. But if you will be cognizant of your surroundings, you can fish anytime. Just because we've not been having an organized fishing expedition doesn't mean that you can't fish on your own. And when you fish on your own, that tends to be better. Because the Lord wants to use all of us as ambassadors to reconcile him unto us unto himself. Some of the do's of fishing. Prepare yourself. Proverbs 24 and 27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Spiritually prepare. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field. Sometimes our field looks very difficult, doesn't it? If we're honest, we look at the Northeast and we look at our area, and people are very closed and people are very hard sometimes. But the Lord can prepare hearts. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There was one time that I actually did all the math. If I went and knocked X number of doors a day, and in this whole area, of course, you can't do that because a lot of places will lock you out and you can't go there. But say I was able to knock every door in the area. It would take me 50 years just to get every door in the area around here, because the pond is so big where we live. You realize that, right? The pond is huge. The pond is huge. And just like sometimes when somebody loses a girl, we have a guy that loses a girl, and some of the comforting words, or a guy or girl loses a guy, some of the comforting words that older folks will say will be, don't worry, there's plenty of fish in the sea. All right? Well, there are plenty of fish in the pond that we live in. Many, many fish. So this is why you need to concentrate outside of the church on fishing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, if you won't say praise the Lord, I'll say praise the Lord. Let soul winning be in your thoughts. Like the old song says, the old gospel song says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, that may I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. Herein is the hard part about in the area that we live in, is getting that connection with people. But once you make that connection with people, there can be great results, but you have to work on cultivating a relationship. A church card left with a waiter or waitress, or with a cashier, or with a barista. We've got them back there. We've got the Hope ones, and we've got the One Encounter with God ones, and I've got a little doctrinal card back there. So all kinds of things that you can do. Say you're shy. Anybody here shy? Yeah, we're all a little bit shy, aren't we? You could just take those cards and put it right in the check when you leave and say, well, I can't really say anything, but here, let me let this go. And what you're doing is you're putting a little bit of seed out there, and you don't know what's going to happen with that. An invitation text to a friend with the church website. Why don't you go to church? You don't even have to put the website in. Just, why don't you go to church with me tomorrow or Sunday? Usually give them a couple of days in advance, maybe on a Friday or something. And just put it out there. Put it out there. If you want to, you can put the website on there, njupc.org. I've been working very hard. About 2 weeks ago, I found out that every crazy link on the thing was broken. And I've gone through that, revamped it, and did a lot of work on there, and put a lot of information on there. And everything is up to snuff again. Check it on Facebook and share an inspirational video or a picture if the Lord is touching you. It works. They say Instagram works great for that stuff too. I'm not shy in that respect. Just put something up. Invite somebody to check in. I'm at church. Why don't you come with me? Great to be in the house of the Lord. A One Encounter card left at a train station or in an Uber. You don't have to give it to the Uber driver. You just leave it in the back seat. Let the next person come and find it. You don't know. You don't know. A One Encounter card left on a bus seat. Now, I know that we take the trains and we take the buses quite a bit around here. We should get in the habit of, if nothing else, if you're too shy to invite people to church, take some of those cards, leave them on the seat when you get out. Because you don't know who you're going to touch. You don't know what seed you're going to touch. If you really get bold, you can personally invite a person to have a Bible study with you. We have some very easy Bible studies back there, all in book form where you can use that. Ecclesiastes 11 and 6 says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in thy evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both alike be good. And sometimes we got to face it, we've fished and we caught no fish. Right? It's frustrating sometimes. And you're like, Lord, isn't anybody hungry for the things of God? And perhaps the Lord is saying, just cast your net back in the same side, or like he told the disciples, cast your net in the other side. I recently had that impression come to me doing the new advertising routine that's going to come out here in a week or two. Just cast it back in. Just do what you were doing. Cast it all back in. Because when the Lord tells you to do stuff works. See, people wonder why Jesus told the disciples to go and heal the sick, cast out devils, and so on and so forth. And they came back and they were all amazed. And they said, oh, we're so amazed. Why? The demons are subject. People were healed. We had wonderful things happen. Well, why did that happen? It's because the Lord spoke to them and told them to do it. And when Jesus tells you to do something, it works. Now, I got a little testimony for those that were here on Wednesday night. I asked you to pray for me because I've been going crazy with this air conditioning up top and air conditioning down below. We had two air conditioners. One was pouring water into the nursery, and I found the edge was cracked, and I epoxied it, and it was still leaking. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? So I asked them Wednesday night, I said, why don't you pray for me? Ask the Lord to help me to figure out what's going on with this stuff. So Thursday, I got up there, and I looked at that part again, and I epoxied it again. I felt that still small voice said, look into the center of the pan to see if there's a crack. And it was way, the pan is about that big. It was like right over here. It was a nice little split that you couldn't see unless you put your finger in there and bounced on it. But that little stuff, you say, well, God can help you to fix air conditioning. The Lord can help you with a lot of stuff. You'd be surprised what the Lord, He knows all this stuff. He knows about computers. He gave all these people the inspiration to make this stuff. People didn't come up with this stuff by themselves. So I went and epoxied it and put another coat on it and turned it on. Later on, I think Friday, maybe I turned it on. And, I got no leaks now. But there was also a problem with the drain backing up, so I had to redo some drainage and stuff like that. It's working fine today. Little one downstairs. I had a little problem with the one downstairs. And, of course, I put those things in. And for any of you that are technically knowledgeable, they have flare nuts on the connections. And I had one connection that kept leaking. And I felt the Lord tell me, look at the inside of the flare nut. So I took the nut off, cut it out, and I looked at the inside of the flare nut. And the inside of the flare nut, it's got to be at an angle, say like this. And this angle was like that. The angle was too great. So I got a different flare nut, put it back on with that, had the right angle on it. And guess what? Everything works. And I've been going crazy with that stuff, trying to figure all that out. The Lord has really helped me with some things here just the last week. I probably put 3 days solid or more on air conditioning this week. I was going crazy with that, frustrated. But in Matthew 5:13 through 16, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You get your salt. Salt creates thirst. People are thirsty for the things of God because of your walk with the Lord. This is why one person can't do everything. Because we all meet different people every day. Every day, unless you're just sick in the house and you haven't gone anywhere, you're going to meet somebody. And there's been times on the job when I was working my secular job, I would have people come to me, the customers. I used to fix refrigerators, air conditioners, and washers and dryers. And sometimes people would come to me and say, there's something different about you. What is it that's different about you? People can feel there's something different. But if your walk with God is suffering, you're not salty enough. Isn't that what it said? It said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, how about your salt? Is your salt the way it should be? Or has your salt lost its savor because your walk with God is not what it ought to be? Here's the good news. The good news with the things of God is we have available to us repentance, where we can repent of our lackadaisicalness. We can repent of our not doing what we ought to be doing. And we can get back in right standing with the Lord. Amen. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. Not His will. Your walk with God may not be what it ought to be, but it's not His will for you to perish. It's His will for you to get in right standing. It's His will for me to get in right standing, to be in right standing. That's the will of God. And the Bible says He'll in no way refuse us. So if your salt has lost its savoriness, try to get some of the flavor back. Try to get back. And the Bible talks about in the book of Revelations, it says, I would that you would get your first love back. Do the first works. Get your first love back. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Don't be afraid to let people know that you're a child of God. Don't be ashamed to let your light shine. It's the will of God for your light to shine. Don't be a closet Christian. Don't be a hidden Christian. Don't be try to be like the world so you can win the world. It's never going to happen. The world is going to win you. Let the Lord set you apart. Let the Lord do some works through you. You'd be amazed what would happen if you would just let God be God in your life and let that light shine. Some of the don'ts. Don't get discouraged. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. Now, I know sometimes you will get discouraged. It's part of life, but you have to come out of it. You can't. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. When we look at some of the sickness that I've had, and I've come out of that, and I'm doing pretty well right now, I'm doing actually very well right now. Amen. The worst problems I've got is I can't really get on my knees, but because of my knees hurt all the time. But if I get up too quick, everything kind of like, oh, from the blood pressure pills. That's about the worst of everything that's going on right now. I can deal with that. I can deal with that. But before I had that stroke, it seemed like the church was starting to blow and go, and all of a sudden the next year it was just problems and difficulties. But you cannot allow yourself to be discouraged. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. You have to understand some things. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. You may plant a seed. You may leave a card. You may put a tract out. If you, matter of fact, you can look at PentecostalPublishing.com. If you see some tracts that you want, just tell me which ones it is and I'll order some. Amen. Because we need to plant some seed. And there's been so many stories of people that have planted seed and the seed has not even grown where it was, but it's grown miles and miles away, sometimes countries away. You don't know. You just plant your seed in the morning, withhold not your hand in the afternoon, and you don't know what God will do. But there's got to be seed that was planted. The Bible says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Amen. And when you talk to somebody, you've done your part. You can be confident that God will do His. See, God is not going to twist everybody's arm. Everything that we do for God, we do voluntarily because we love the Lord. If the Lord wanted to, He could have created robots. Everybody loves the Lord. Everybody serves the Lord. But He gave us this thing called free choice. And what you have done in serving the Lord is you have chosen to worship the Lord out of your own free will. And God honors that. But you have to understand something. When you've talked to somebody, you've done your part, and you can be confident that God's going to do His. Because when you stop speaking, the Holy Ghost doesn't stop speaking. The Holy Ghost will keep working on people. You have to learn to go blind. When you sow. And of course, this is why famously I started taking off my glasses when I preached. I started doing this 35 years ago, and I got in a bad habit. Can't break the habit now. Because it used to bother me, and sometimes I'd be preaching, and people would scowl at me. Well, guess what? I take off my glasses. I can't see anything. It's great. Amen. So I don't get bothered by that anymore. But it really doesn't bother me too much anymore. But you have to learn to go blind when you sow. Not taking joy in the person's outward expression. I've given you my testimony before, where I had a guy I worked for 2 or 3 years. And I was ugly, mean, and nasty. And I was just vicious to him. But one day I went up to him and said, can I go to church with you? He wouldn't even invite me to church. He wouldn't even offer me a Bible study. He wouldn't witness to me. He wouldn't do anything. Because he said later on in his testimonies, I thought he was too mean to be saved. So you don't know. You cannot go by people's expression. But you have to go by in that the gospel was faithfully given, or the seed was sown. If anyone is saved, it's because the Father draws him. No man can come to God except the Father draweth him. And here's another example of being in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost, will tell you sometimes, go talk to this person, go talk to that person. Sow this seed, sow that seed. Sometimes what we want to do, instead of throwing one seed, we throw a whole bunch down, and we wonder why the ground is drowned and all that seed can't grow. Sometimes the Lord just wants you to give one thought. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He's the great instructor. Don't start frying the fish before you catch the fish. That's a big mistake. You get all worked up, man, I'm going to have some nice bass. And then you got a bass, you're out bass fishing, you're cooking the bass already, and all that bass is just running away because they got an idea what you're trying to do. You cannot cook something before it's caught. And this is what I said, let me work with people in the church. If I need you, I'll ask you to help me. Sometimes a lot of patience is required. Sometimes a lot of prayers were. Sometimes just letting God be God is required. Amen. Don't try to get them baptized and in the church before they're ready. Allow God to work on the heart. Don't wear out your welcome. If you notice that they are restless and keep looking at the watch, then you make your graceful exit. Read body language. If you don't understand body language, get some books on it. There's all kinds of books out there on reading body language. If you try to read body language, you can tell somebody's a little bit tired or somebody's wore out. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're through with you. Wherever the case is, don't sit there and drive them crazy where they don't ever want to see you again. Some of the don'ts. Jesus gave us some key words. Winning, lost, Savior. These key words emphasize the responsibility of every child of God to be a soul winner. You have to understand something. That the eternal salvation of souls is in our hands. Maybe if not you, the Lord will use somebody else. But God uses men. He doesn't use angels. He put his spirit in earthen vessels that we might show the glory of God. Now, there has been cases where people have had an angel talk to them and they've walked into the truth. But let me tell you something. The vast majority of cases where people have come to God is because somebody invited them to church. My case is extremely unusual. You don't ask somebody usually, hey, can I go to church with you? Especially somebody that you've been mean to and ugly and nasty. That's very, very unusual. But it happened. But the vast majority of people, somebody invited them. Somebody sowed a seed somewhere. They saw a track, they saw a card, they saw something, and the Holy Ghost began to work on them. And that's the way God works. But if it's not for us, the Bible talks about, says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? You can be a preacher to the fish in the pond. We all have different places in the body that we fulfill. I think one of the greatest things to be in God is a soul winner. There are people that are just tremendous. I was reading, I've got on some of these preachers' forums, and this guy was, he was just so beside himself. There was a man in his church that was about to die. Unfortunately, we're all going to get there. Can't do anything about that. But I believe, if I remember right, the man had won over 1,000 people to God over his years. People baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. That man's got great rewards. And I think he passed away recently. That man's got great rewards. And he was like, what am I going to do? I can't replace him. Amen. First of all, let us think of the word Savior. Surely, this is the most precious of the titles given to our Lord Jesus Christ. It was given by divine announcement. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke to the one who has come as my Savior. The Lord Jesus made it clear that the primary purpose of His advent, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, was the salvation of men and of women. He died and rose again. You know, in the Old Testament, what happened was they just put the sins ahead 1 year. All the ceremony, all the actions of the tabernacle, all the sacrifices. Once a year, they would lay hands on a goat for the sins of the nation and send that goat into the wilderness. That stopped when Jesus was crucified, because He was that scapegoat. He was the one that died for our sins. And today, we can be born again. We can be born again. The Bible tells you, a lot of people say, well, how do you know you've been born again? And I've had people tell me, well, I had a really good feeling, or I saw this light, I've had people respond a lot of different ways to that. But the Bible says in John chapter 3, the first 8 verses, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. The new birth actually consists of two parts, the birth of the water and the birth of the Spirit. Some people have been erroneously taught that that happens when you're born of your mother, that you have born of the water when you break your mother's water and you're born into this world. But He said you got to be born again, because a child that does not have a spirit when it's born is stillborn, and that child is dead. But the Bible teaches us we've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you the long and skinny on it, is that you've got to be baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is Jesus. And when you go down in the waters of baptism, it's for the remission of your sins. So if you've been baptized and you never repented of your sins, you went down a dry sinner and you came up a wet sinner, because it takes repentance. And then He said you can be filled with the Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, it gives us a very interesting take. It says that the wind blows where it wants to. You hear the sound of the wind. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And the Word of God says, Jesus said that there was going to be a sound that was going to accompany everyone that was born of the Spirit. And it was going to be a sound that you did not understand. He didn't come primarily to be our teacher, our reformer, our example, or our king. He came to save the lost. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. This saying that we can say, it says He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He can save the one that is on drug row and skid row and an alcoholic and a drug addict. And He can save the Donald Trumps of this world. Actually, I think it's harder for the Donald Trumps of this world to get saved than it is for somebody that's down and out, because they've come to the end of their world. Some people do, and some people are so down and out, and they're just happy being down in the mud. They're just like the pig that goes around in the mud, and they're happy. You ever see pigs in the mud? They're very happy. And unfortunately, there's people like that. They figured out a way of surviving the mud, and they're just happy rolling around in the mud. That's why Jesus said, he says, I did not come to save those that were whole. They don't need a physician, but they that are sick, they need the physician. So whether it's a sick person that's on Skid Row, a sick person that's a middle class, a sick person that's a high class, they have to be sick. They have to be desirous. They have to want something greater than what they have. And when you come to that place where you know that you need God, you can go great places with the Lord. When you get it stuck in your mind that, you know, I got this all together. I'm just wonderful. I'm so wise. I've seen all this secret stuff nobody knows about. You fool for the world's sake. Amen. The gospel is very clear. Very clear. The things of God are not hidden in a closet. Just like when the Lord comes and the rapture happens. You think, you know, people say, well, it's a hidden rapture. Oh, it's not going to be a hidden rapture. Now, people are not going to believe what happens. But people are going to see Him come. There's going to be a coming of the Lord that's not going to be secret. Amen. People are going to wonder what happened. Now, I speculate. They'll say, well, aliens came and took everybody. Because that's the kind of world we live in. The world we live in denies God. They deny the workings of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, they were so wise they became fools. Turning the goodness of God into things that are like molten gold and all the rest of that stuff. Professing themselves wise, they became foolish. They became fools. And he turned them over to a reprobate mind. We see a lot of crazy reprobate stuff going on. We see, I'm telling you what, they got, I'm so glad Brother Rick's on vacation today. You say, why are you glad he's on vacation? Because they're having the gay pride parade today. And I don't want to have nothing, I don't want to see none of that stuff. But now what they're starting to do is bring out 8-year-old and 10-year-old kids and boys in drag and acting gay and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And in the old days, they would have called that child abuse. Today, they call it being free to express themselves. We live in a sick world. And we see all the abortion protesters. The Bible says in the last days that they would be without natural affection. And that is one of the greatest indicators. We are in the last days. When you see all this protesting and all this stuff, so to give the woman a right to kill her baby. And they say, well, it's my body, it's my choice. Let me tell you something about that. The child has its own DNA, and most of the times the blood type is different than the mother. So how is that baby your body? It's another body that God has put in there. And when you see in a world, you know, I saw a meme on the internet. I love memes, boy. There's some of those funny. Some of the... Pharaoh said, kill the babies. Herod said, kill the babies. Then we got a whole bunch of people in the world today saying, kill the babies. What spirit is that of? It's not of God. Let me tell you something. There's always been people, you know, I hate to say this, but there's always been people messing around and getting pregnant out of wedlock. And many times in the old days, they would just make it right and get together and get married. Oh, it's always been happening. Always been happening. The whole idea is to make it right in the eyes of God. I'm not saying it's okay to do those things. Don't do that. Don't put those words in my mouth. The Bible says not to fornicate. The Bible says not to commit adultery. Okay? But if you do mess up, you need to make things right with God. Now, somebody probably listening on me on the internet talk about this, so I hope that you will, because we're on YouTube today, and I hope that you will think about that and that you will make yourself right with the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. So He can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I know I'm going a little long, and I'm only on to the third, fifth. Well, I got fifth page out of probably nine pages. I'm not going to get done. That's just the way it is. When a preacher preaches, sometimes they just go on, and they just got to say, we're done. Okay? But think about this. I'm going to leave you something to think about. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. By Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And maybe, Brother J.J., you can put up 1 Timothy 3:16. Tells us that great is the mystery of without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. This is why no one can come to God except through Jesus Christ. Because we see Him. We see God through Him. He's been given that name that's above every name. You got that up there? Oh, there it is. Without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifest in the flesh. God, now you say it doesn't say that, but if you think about it, that's what it's saying. God was justified in the Spirit. God was seen of angels. God preached to the Gentiles. God was believed on in the world. And God was received up in the glory. You say, well, are you saying that Jesus received Himself up in the glory? Well, the Scripture says that. Just like Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You say, well, you believe Jesus is His own Father. First of all, you're not understanding the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God does not reproduce like that. We're men and we're women. We reproduce like that. But God does not reproduce like that. God took Himself on the form. He took on the form of man, and He became sin for us in the form of Jesus Christ. And yes, the Bible says you're going to call Him the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. And one final scripture. Some wonder if it's His will for the house to be filled. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, we read this in the very beginning, go out into the highways and to the byways, to the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. It's the will of God for us to fill up the house. It's the will of God for it to be overflowing. That's the will of God. Will you listen to the call to win souls? That's the question. And maybe somebody can, Jarrett, would you find my wife and tell her to come up here, please, wherever she is. If you would let, you know, there's a chorus that we sing. It says, move me with your message once again. It's been so long.